You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
It's great to be back, everybody. Welcome to tonight's live broadcast of TPC this Saturday evening, March the 4th. You know what that means, don't you? It's time for our annual March Around the World series, and I look forward to this month of broadcasting the whole year through. So get your passports ready, friends, because it's time for it to begin anew tonight. And during this month-long special series, we're going to be showcasing leaders and elected officials from different European nations, different Western nations, not just in Europe, but in Europe and beyond, as we seek to discover how our kinsmen are faring throughout the Western world. It's going to be a month of broadcasting you won't forget as we travel throughout, as I just mentioned, Europe and beyond with some of our people's finest representatives. And tonight we'll be making stops in England, in Australia, and in Canada. You will not just three different countries, but three different continents tonight as we kick off this month of broadcasting.
The Anglosphere is covered.
Keith, it's great to be back with you as well after missing you last week.
Great to see your smiling face again, buddy.
Let me get you here turned up just right. I tell you what, I missed you last week, but the show didn't miss a beat. In fact, better than ever with Sam Bushman hosting in my stead and you playing your usual part. And I want to give Sam a big tip of the hat for having former Congressman Steve Stockman on the program last week. That is the second of two former United States representatives that have been on the show in the first 2 months of this year. Steve King in Iowa, Steve Stockman out of Texas, and really interesting talk radio about how Washington works behind the scenes. You know, I was really just enthralled in listening to that, how he talked about how members of Congress are afraid of the government when they're there.
We had Sam Dixon on the second hour, and of course you can't go wrong with Sam.
No.
Then we had Tim Kelly in the third. So.
Well, I'll tell you that. Yes, we did. It was a fantastic show from start to finish, as will tonight be. And we were mentioning former members of Congress. Let me tell you who my favorite former member of European Parliament is. It's Nick Griffin, and he's with us live now from England. And I'll tell you one thing about Nick that I can't say about the two congressmen that have been on with us so far this year. Nick has appeared with us both as a sitting member of Parliament and as a former. So he's got a one-up on the other two Steves. Nick, how are you doing tonight? And thanks for staying up so late to kick off this very special series with us.
I'm doing fine. Thank you very much. I must correct you, though. I'm not in England. I'm in Northern Ireland.
Whoa. All right. Well, you're on the road tonight. You're on the road. What are your
trips in the UK?
I'm in the UK, yeah.
You're still in the UK, though. Great Britain, the UK. Which do you prefer?
That's quite a complicated thing. See, if I'm in Northern Ireland, I'm not in Great Britain, because it's Great Britain and Northern Ireland make up the United Kingdom.
See, you know, we do get confused. See, you call us Yankees, though, when we're actually Confederates, but it's, you know, splitting hairs here. That's right. That's right. And you're an honorary rebel yourself, and then some. Well, you know, Nick, you kicked off. You're always such a welcomed and regular guest. You kicked off our entire broadcasting year in 2022. You're our first guest in January of 2022, kicking off this special series now in 2023, and you appear throughout the year as well. Give us a quick peek on how things are going in whatever you call it, the United Kingdom, Great Britain, Northern Ireland, England. How are we doing over on the island?
It's a remarkable time. I've been involved in political action, James, for 50 years now, and honestly, I've never seen and sensed the time like this. It's absolutely astounding. There's demonstrations against the mass immigration flood in town after town after town every single day. This is absolutely spontaneous. It's a shame that they managed to smash up the British National Party, so we're not there, but this is absolutely from the grassroots. It's happening also in Scotland, in Northern Ireland, and then also in the Republic of Ireland. There's this groundswell of public opinion against this new swamping wave of mass immigration, and it's tying in with an enormous radicalization of a lot of people over the COVID lockdowns and the jab mandates and the mask mandates and all the rest of it. And a lot of those people come basically from the left, but what they've experienced over 3 years of the lockdown tyranny has so radicalized them that, for instance, when people are on their side now interview me, they get no pushback from people who a few years ago would have said, you can't have that man on, he's a monster. There's this real grassroots, it's a combination of defiance and anger against everything the elite are doing to us. I don't know where it's going to end, but it's very exciting.
Nick, I have to double down on you right there, my friend, because you've been traveling this week. I was traveling throughout almost the entire month of February in fits and starts. And so you and I didn't actually have a chance to really get into a back and forth email exchange on what we would be talking about tonight. So when I asked that question, I truly didn't know how you were going to answer, but I am so pleased to hear the good news, because some of the things we're going to be covering over the course of the remainder of this hour are some good things that we are observing here in America that I think is very akin to what you just described. And we'll compare notes and trade a few secrets back and forth. But I am seeing the same thing, to answer succinctly. I believe I'm seeing the same things, and we'll present some evidence to you of that as this hour continues. Now, let me ask you this. Are the heads over there a sort of leading to a reawakening of the people? I mean, with what? A Muslim mayor of London, an Indian prime minister, has their stewardship or just the sight of that sort of...
Have the English people just said enough already? Is that what's going on?
I think it's partly that, although taking the Muslim mayor of London, frankly, it doesn't matter to most actual indigenous Londoners, because like me, they all moved out years ago. The place is a foreign-occupied zone, so it really doesn't matter too much. But even in London, especially the outer ring, which is still partly indigenous, although pretty middle-class and liberal, even they are up in arms because of it's not the fact they've got a Muslim mayor, it's the fact that the Muslim mayor is enforcing, I don't know if you have this yet in America, but this World Economic Forum originated 15-minute neighborhoods, 15-minute cities, ultra-low emission zones. Basically, it's a war on private car owners. And it's a massive tax ramp as well. And it's really angering these people, so that where they're putting in traffic blocking measures, CCTV cameras to observe, to impose this true tyranny, ordinary, basically middle-class Londoners, formerly liberals, are setting fire to these things and smashing them up. It's something quite remarkable.
It can't be getting any worse than it is over here, Nick. They're trying to do away with gas stoves now. That's the latest initiative.
Oh, they're trying to do away with wood-burning stoves and gas stoves over here. Yep, it's the same. It's the same madness coming from the same puppet politicians who are working on behalf of the same global elite clique.
Well, that's exactly right, and it doesn't matter what their names are. They're working for this same criminal shadowy cabal.
Ask you this, Nick, too. What is behind this? Have the leaders just collectively lost their minds, or is somebody paying this off, or what's going?
Well, how is too big of a question to ask as the music begins to play. I hear the music? Phantom music? I thought I heard it. I've been off a week, so maybe I'm a little rusty. Well, now cue the Jeopardy.
We've got a epidemic like COVID, I guess, of mental illness in the halls of leadership in all of the Western nations now.
Well, I think, I don't want to answer for Nick, but I think that the two congressmen that we've had on in the last couple of months, there's the music. I knew it was coming. I thought I heard it. Go back and listen, ladies and gentlemen, to Congressman Steve King and Steve Stockman. They tell you how it works. Yeah, we'll be right back.
It's James, and I've got to tell you that I sleep better at night knowing that there are organizations like the Conservative Citizens Foundation. The purpose of the Conservative Citizens Foundation is to promote the principles of limited government, individual liberty, equality before the law, property rights, law and order, judicial restraint, and states' rights, while at the same time exploring the dangers posed by liberalism to our national interests and cultural institutions. The Conservative Citizens Foundation also seeks to educate the public on the dangers of extremist ideologies like critical race theory and cultural Marxism. I've worked with the good people at the Conservative Citizens Foundation for many years, and their work comes with my complete endorsement. For more information and to keep up with all the latest conservative news headlines, please check out their website, AmericaFirst.com. That's MERICA1ST.com, AmericaFirst.com.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast. And that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
All right, welcome back, everybody. James Edwards, Keith Alexander. We're kicking off March Around the World with the great and good Nick Griffin. Now, I want to get right into this as we continue on with the good news that Nick is feeling and sensing and seeing in the UK, Great Britain, all over the British Isles. Nick, I'm sure you are aware of the very odious Southern Poverty Law Center, who just last week published their 79th article. 79 that has attacked yours truly and this program. And in that one article, they use the terms white supremacist, white nationalist, which they use interchangeably, racist, neo-Nazi, all of that, the usual stuff, 43 times. They did a control F, a control find search, 43 times in one article. So do you think people are getting numb to that now? I think, you know, 20 years ago, when we first went on the air, nearly 20 years ago, that still had a lot of punch for people. People really feared that. And certainly if you're working for a woke corporation, your job could very much be at risk. If you're at one of these universities, your scholarship, your standing as a student could be at risk. But I think in the age of Donald Trump, 2015, 2016, seeing the Republican nominee for president and then the sitting president of the United States for 4 years be called this incessantly, I think it's lost a little bit of its thing. I think, it, you know, people almost want to be called that now.
I think they've overplayed it, you know, applying it to people who it absolutely does not apply to, like Trump, you know, no way, shape or form. So it's partly that. I think it's partly because it was always connected, this, with the Second World War and the Nazi thing and so on. That generation's gone almost. So it's weaker because of that. And then also, one of the beautiful things about our people, but it's also a weakness of ours, is the tendency to stand up for the underdog. And 20, 30 years ago, it was still possible to look at the ethnic situation and so on and think that we were the top dog and that the various ethnic groups were the underdog and we were being unfair to them. And I think it's now absolutely crystal clear to everyone except those who are deliberately denying it, and especially to all the young people who've grown up and gone to school in multiracial areas and all the rest of it, it's very clear that we are now the victims of racism. That we're not people like you and me. We're not campaigning to crush others, to be mean to others. We're campaigning just to secure the basic human rights of our own people. I think that's now so obvious that the old racist, white supremacist labels simply aren't working anymore.
I agree with you 100%, obviously, and I was at a hotel last night in Mississippi. We were visiting some friends, and there was a group of people, middle-aged, working-class people, good-looking people, middle-aged to you know, slightly senior citizens, I guess you could say, but they were smartly dressed, looked like a good crowd, and they were just sitting back in the hotel lobby having a good time, and I went and just, you know, sat alone and engaged them for a few minutes. And it only took, I tell you, Nick, and we didn't get into anything, you know, explicit, but just talking to them for about 5 minutes, and they were sort of eating out of your hand politically. I think there is a vast number of people who are out there. If you talk to them privately, they are there. They are there with you implicitly, at least, and explicitly, too. I think they're just waiting for a leader. I think that the field is fertile, and we're waiting for that guy. People need to be led. People need a leader. I think that the conditions are more ripe now than at any point in my career. Would you agree with that? And then we'll toss it over to Keith.
Yeah, I do indeed. Certainly in Britain, organizationally, it's a shambles. And the same is true in most other European countries, unfortunately, because the elite managed to work out how to deal with and smash and break up the real nationalist parties. But they did that partly in desperation because I think they saw what was coming. And the, as you say, the ground is now very, very fertile. And I think that something will explode. And I don't know whether it will be this year or next year, but there's going to come a time when history will look back and say, well, 3 months before this and 3 months after it, everything has changed. I think it's coming. Yeah. It's coming pretty soon.
Nick, this is Keith. I'm seeing two other things. One is we've always said on this program that in the South, at least, in the southern United States, liberalism is a mile wide and an inch deep. Now it's not even that deep. And there is one more thing. There were a lot of people before that would say, well, you know, poor liberalism, it went astray. You know, I'm not for this third wave feminism, but first wave feminism I can live with, or the civil rights movement. Now these people are coming to us and saying, you know, you were right. The whole affair was rotten to the core right from the beginning. Are you getting any of that? Yeah, any feeling of that?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, when they were asking for to be allowed to sit in the same bus, people had sympathy for that. When they're asking for trillions in reparations, you know, it's becoming pretty stupid, isn't it? Really. And even if people
think it's a camel's nose in the tent,
that's my money they're talking about.
It's a camel's nose in the tent, as Arabs say. Don't let the camel's nose in the tent, because if you let so much as a nose in, the next thing you know, you'll be the camel will be moved into your tent and you'll be moved out.
Well, it's interesting what Nick just said, because this talks about the need for separation and really, you know, here in America, and it may be this way in where in your port of call too, Nick. I mean, here in America, we are at least two separate nations. We're really more nations than that, but organized under two political blocks, the red and the blue, the Republicans and the Democrats. But there are a vast number of nations here in this living space, and you can see it. And the lines have become more wide with each passing year. So just this last week in San Francisco, there was a panel studying the feasibility of reparations, and they recommended $5 million for every black in San Francisco. Now, how many of them actually can trace their lineage back to slavery? How many of them came afterwards? I mean, it doesn't matter. They're black and they're in San Francisco. It's $5 million. But you said something so profound. I quote it often, even in my own talks now, and I've mentioned it a couple of times in some of your subsequent appearances on this program. I'll stab at it. I'll paraphrase. It'll get somewhere close to the mark. But that you'd said some years ago on this program, but that the path to victory by voting ourselves out of this situation may be closed, may be over, but that doesn't mean that our people are over. And to me, Nick, I don't care about arbitrary lines on a map, geographical state lines or anything like that. I care about our people. And if our people can survive, it doesn't matter to me what form of government or what living space we've got, so long as we're there. And, you know, you had also talked about, you know, with regards to Brexit and some of the elections that have taken place in Europe where people think they're doing the right thing. They think they're voting for the nationalist candidate. They think they're voting for something that's going to shake things up and break down the existing order, and that's good. I mean, they're going in the right direction.
Yeah, absolutely so. But as I said before, this is part of the clever wickedness of the people in charge, that they throw up or back these parties which people vote for, as you say, thinking it's going to change it, when everyone, they know that it's not going to change it. They're safety valves from the very beginning, or they're being used as such. So I still don't have, for everything I said, I don't have any faith at all in the party political electoral process. It's rigged. But when the people as a whole simply no longer believe it, simply no longer obey, then all bets are off, aren't they? And I think we're not at that stage yet, but we're in the pre-revolutionary stage. I would be absolutely confident of a revolution if only we had the demographics of a revolution, namely lots and lots and lots of young people. But for demographic reasons, we don't. So, therefore, can you have a revolution by 15, 16-year-olds? I don't know. It's never happened in history. But I do know that there's potential for some real, drastic, radical change. I also know that the elite are terrified of this. They're terrified of, you know, what they call populism, what is really just the awakened concern and will of the ordinary people. And the elites are desperate about that. And it's one of the reasons they're now pushing their various, the parts of their tyrannical agenda forward so far and so fast, because they're afraid if they don't, they'll lose control. But they've got a target by the tail, haven't they? Because if they keep this up and go too fast, they're going to lose control in any case.
Well, I heard somebody say the other day that it's like the elites are the Jacobin Club and we are the Vendee.
But Nick, let me give you this. I don't even know if this is anecdotal evidence. I mean, this is I think, pretty profound. So you have Marjorie Taylor Greene, who is a sitting, I guess, I call them all congressmen out of habit. I guess she's a congresswoman. Yeah, but Marjorie Taylor Greene out of Georgia said just, and this was talked about on the show last week, although it was my first Saturday off in about 2 years, but I listened. And Marjorie Taylor Greene had said that we need a national divorce. Now, that to me is striking, because 20 years ago, 10 years ago, even 5 years ago, the idea that you would have a sitting member of the United States House of Representatives tacitly calling for a secession of some sort, it was unfathomable. And it's not just that. It's not just you've got one member of Congress saying this. New poll came out this week. 47% of Republican voters, that's 47% of 60 million voters, say they want
a national divorce
as well, which is a euphemism for secession. We'll let Nick ponder. That's 47% of the Republican voters here in America, according to this mainstream poll. We'll let Nick ponder that during the break. We'll be right back with him next.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA News, I'm Dave Collins. Former President Trump is delivering the keynote speech as the Conservative Political Action Conference winds down near Washington, D.C.
For 7 years, you and I have been engaged in an epic struggle to rescue our country from the people who hate it and want to absolutely destroy it. The sinister forces trying to kill America have done everything they can to stop me, to silence you.
Trump's remarks follow a presidential straw poll, bringing the four-day gathering to a close. Speaking at a news conference, Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear talked about the lives lost after severe storms tore through the state on Friday.
Sadly, we lost at least five Kentuckians.
He went on to say that wind speeds surpassed 70 miles per hour, leaving nearly 400,000 people in the dark in Kentucky.
Utility partners are working quickly to restore services, but this may take some time. This is very significant, widespread damage throughout Kentucky.
At least 11 storm-related deaths have been reported across the South. The three Michigan State University students who died in a February shooting will be awarded posthumous degrees. The university says they'll honor the legacies of Ariel Anderson, Brian Frazier, and Alexandria Verner by awarding the degrees at the spring commencement. One person is dead after a gas tanker exploded in Maryland. The truck was overturned in a fiery crash this afternoon. It exploded on a highway near a residential area. Multiple vehicles, one home, were caught in the blaze, and the driver of the tanker died at the scene. The Grizzlies' Ja Morant is being sidelined for at least 2 games after brandishing a gun on social media. The two-time NBA All-Star went live on Instagram in what appeared to be a strip club. Morant was shirtless and flashed what appeared to be a handgun next to his face. This is USA News.
Attention, small business owners. This could be the most important 10-minute call you will ever make. You may be eligible to receive up to $26,000 per employee through the Employee Retention Credit. Call Omega Accounting Solutions to see if your business is eligible to recover payroll tax paid during the pandemic. All it takes is a quick, easy, free 10-minute consultation to determine your qualifications. Call Omega Accounting Solutions at 800-309-ERC. Omega's knowledgeable staff will streamline the process of filing complicated paperwork. Omega is the small business champion with teams dedicated to maximizing tax credits. CPAs even turn to Omega for ERC guidance. Take advantage of this exclusive small business tax credit before it's too late. The 3-year sunset deadline is setting soon. So find out if you qualify today. Call 800-309-ERC. That's 800-309-ERC. Or visit OmegaTaxCredits.com.
godfather of the European Union, Richard Kutanov Kalergi, published the plan for a united Europe and the ethnocide of the peoples of Europe. The encouragement of mass non-white immigration was central to the plot. Since then, an unholy alliance of leftists, capitalists, and Zionist supremacists has schemed to promote immigration and miscegenation with the deliberate aim of breeding us out of existence in our own homelands. As indigenous resistance to this human genetic modification industry grows, the criminal elite seeks new ways to camouflage their project. First, their immigrant pawns were temporary guest workers. Then it was a multiracial experiment. Then they were refugees. Then the answer to a shrinking population. Different excuses, different lies. And asylum is just another one. But the real aim stays the same. The biggest genocide in human history. The final solution of the Christian European problem. This crime demands a new set of Nuremberg trials, and you people will be in the dock.
Ladies and gentlemen, I don't like to use the word iconic too often. It cheapens it, but that truly was an iconic speech by Nick Griffin, our guest right now, when he was a sitting member of the European Parliament, to his colleagues.
It was prophetic
in the European Parliament.
And people are realizing now there's no way to put a spin on it anymore. They are intent upon replacing us. Everybody believes in the great replacement.
Well, and of course, it's not a great replacement theory. It's a great replacement fact. And the reason I played that, we have played it before when Nick has been on, but the reason I play it again tonight is whatever happens going forward, and Nick, we were just saying 47% of Republican voters want there to be some sort of a secession. How that looks, I don't know. But when things begin to change, it opens up opportunities that didn't exist before. And even if they intend it to be one way, perhaps our people can move in and guide it even in a better path. But in Idaho, just to give you a little more, in Idaho, just recently, the Greater Idaho Secession Bill passed the Idaho State House. So this is stuff that's not just being talked about on fringe blogs. This is something that is being mentioned by sitting members of Congress. It is being passed by state governments, okay, to look into this. And in Atlanta, the majority white affluent Buckhead is trying to secede from majority black city of Atlanta. So there's a lot of things going on, Nick, and when things do change, and I believe they will, I believe we'll leave to see it now. I didn't think that way 5 years ago. When things do change, and in a big way, and perhaps we're one economic collapse or nuclear war away from it, whether we have our own ethno-state, whether our states become balkanized and we have a piece of it to move forward in, or whether we can take back some form of government as it exists now, we will need people like you, Nick, giving speeches like that in whatever future our people have.
Well, I certainly think that the drastic times when this becomes possible again are coming. And in the old days, and for decades, more than 100 years now, nationalists and communists, for that matter, anyone who required a radical change in the system had to hope for an economic collapse. And would it happen? Because the people in power didn't want it. And there's now this unique point that the people in power do want an economic collapse. They're working for a complete collapse of our system because they've declared war on carbon energy, which is the basis of our civilization. So they haven't just declared war on carbon. They declared war on the modern industrial society. They declared war on us. And we're not now waiting for a collapse that may or may not happen. We're waiting for the end of the process of their deliberate destruction of our energy industry, our productive industries, our food industries, and distribution. They're taking the whole thing apart. So you can bet your life that there's a collapse coming on a scale which will mean that it's not just at present a majority of, or a near majority of Republicans are saying this thing's finished, we want out. I think that very soon, when this thing really kicks in, you're also going to see the working class base of the Democrats, not the ones who live on either social welfare or they run the welfare state and so on. They run the bureaucracy, not them, but the ordinary people who still vote Democrat out of habit. They're not going to either. And when this kicks in, this change is going to be so massive. It really is. One more factor I think we should look at. I don't know if you've got this in America yet, but in Britain, the insistence of the liberal left, they've gone so crazed on the LGBT, and especially the T, the trans thing.
Yes.
They're forcing traditionally minded ethnic minorities, including in Britain in particular, the Muslims, who we always thought, you know, the final war will be with them. In Scotland recently, the Scottish National Party is basically a communist organisation, totally anti-nationalist. It's been running the government there up in Scotland, and they've been imposing this trans mania to the extent that recently the Indians in Scotland, officially the organisation, and the Muslim Council in Scotland, that's their governing body, they said, we can no longer support the Scottish National Party. So at that point, they moved within a whisker of us, and of traditional Christians, in saying that our masters are so evil, so perverse, so satanic, that we will no longer stand with these people. Well, if they won't stand with them, then at least raises the question, they may not stand shoulder to shoulder with us, but can we carve things up so that they do their thing in their patch and we do our thing in ours? I don't know, but if we can, it's a damn sight better than what the elite have got planned for us.
Amen.
Well, sexual depravity as being a civil right is, I think, a bridge too far for most people. They've crossed that here. They're doing it over there. Yep. What does man in the street over in your neck of the woods think about this Russian-Ukrainian war? And their role in it, if any?
Out of the people who are already woken up, radicalized by the COVID scandemic or by immigration, it's almost wall-to-wall that they actually understand that we're on the wrong side. In fact, in this, and it's Russia is standing for Christianity and tradition, and the Ukrainian is part of the global homo assault on not just Russia, but on all of us. From the ordinary people, that necessarily hasn't yet sunk in, but there is no enthusiasm whatsoever for war. They regard it as a waste of lives over there, a waste of our taxes. We should have nothing whatsoever to do with it. So there's certainly no war hysteria, no war fever. There's a weariness, I think, that yet again the politicians are doing something bloody stupid, and it's going to hurt us, and it is hurting us because, you know, the sanctions against Russia, they weren't really designed against Russia. They're designed against us. This is the elite, the World Economic Forum, etc., again, playing a trick of economic and energy suicide by Russia so that they don't get the blame for it. But whether people understand it or not, they certainly understand that is not our war, and we should stay well away from it.
Well, what about fuel prices? Has the shoe begun to pinch over there yet?
Oh, it's pinched terribly, especially we're used to high what you call gas prices, but we are not used to high electricity and domestic gas prices and coal and even wood and all the rest of it, and that is really pinching. And I think that, again, ordinary people perhaps think they got away with it because the winter wasn't very cold, and they think, well, it was okay this winter, it'll be okay next winter. And it won't be because, of course, the Europeans fill their reserve tanks up with Russian gas and Russian oil in the spring and summer of last year before the sanctions really bit. And it's this next winter at the end of this year, that the tanks will be empty even going into it. And that is really, really going to hurt. And, of course, it's not so bad for certainly the people running or ruining America, and even for some Americans, because the energy craziness in especially Germany, France, Italy, and Britain, the high prices is literally deindustrializing our countries, and a lot of those companies are actually looking to set up in the United States. Now, there's all sorts of reasons why the people ruining the United States are imposing this war on Eastern Europe, but one of them is simply money, and simply the desperate desire to keep the dollar up for a little bit longer, so you can keep the dollar up by pushing the euro and the pound sterling down. You can keep America up by destroying Europe, and that undoubtedly is one of the tricks they're playing.
I want to go back to something that you said a moment ago. I do think that people like you, people like Pat Buchanan, were a little bit ahead of the times. I mean, Buchanan especially about 20 years too soon, 20, 25 years too soon. You, even though you did, of course, manage quite famously to be elected to European Parliament, I think the time is coming still perhaps closer now than it was, but still a little bit more to go. But the conditions continue to ripen, and there will be someone like you, someone like Buchanan, that's going to step in and really just, I think, harness this energy, and we're waiting for that person. But I want to get back to a few other things that we've been talking about over the course of this hour, reasons for encouragement. And sometimes, you know, it's a mixed bag. I think when we have Professor Drew Fraser on in the next hour from Australia, it's not quite as good over there domestically, at least the conditions may not be. And we'll talk to him about that. But again, Nick, you've got now sitting governors, sitting Congress people using the terms anti-white, publicly advocating for some form of secession. You've got polls that show Republican voters are in favor of that. Polls that show whites, Republicans believe that whites are being persecuted. White Christians especially are being persecuted. Poll after poll after poll we've been citing for 2 years. It just seemed like our best efforts, and I was always content to herd the flock as best I could, to be a good shepherd. I think the left, conditions are favorable now because the left has gone so far, so fast. They've done the work that...
They've gone hog wild and pig crazy.
They've done the work we never could in waking up the people, and I think for so many reasons. We'll get more on that next with Nick Griffin.
Antelope Hill Publishing is America's leading publisher of dissident books, bringing you a wide variety of new translations and original works on every subject from the Spanish Civil War to the funding behind the transgender movement. Antelope Hill publishes books that mainstream publishers won't touch, full of information that challenges the political status quo and brings real culture to the reading public at an affordable price. If you count yourself as a political dissident, you owe it to yourself to check out the Antelope Hill catalog with exclusive offerings like Solzhenitsyn and the Right, The Open Society Playbook, Opioids for the Masses, and many more. There's something there for everyone, and new titles are added every month. Check out the catalog today at antelopehillpublishing.com. That's antelopehillpublishing.com. I'm James Edwards, and I want you to go to antelopehillpublishing.com.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
All right, we are back, and we're back for our final segment as we kick off March Around the World. How would you say it's going so far with Nick Griffin, Keith?
Tell you what, onward and upward. That's all I can tell you.
Why we like kicking off things with Nick, whether it's a year of broadcasting or this special series, it's always great to have him on. He's been on many times with us and many times still to come. We most certainly hope. We're actually reconnecting with him right now. We switched phones during the break, and our production team's going to let us know when he comes back, and he's back right now. So, Nick, we were giving you, you know, some polls, some things that are being said now that you couldn't have imagined even just a few short years ago. I'm going to give you a couple of more, give you a chance to respond, and then plug anything you want to plug and tell us anything else about what you're up to that our audience needs to know about. But here again, former Congressman Steve King, there was a story about how some of these Ivy League schools are ditching ACT and SAT scores. No scores for college, no LSAT for law, maybe even no MCAT for med school coming up, to which Steve King, former congressman, was in Congress as recently as just a couple of years ago. Equity, affirmative action, and mediocrity, the triune god of the left. And also, he tweeted out this television commercial. Now, imagine this, Nick Griffin. This is a television commercial that is running on national stations here in the United States. You would have never, ever, ever heard an ad like this on establishment television until just the last couple of years. Here's how it sounds. It's 1 minute long.
Have you ever boarded a plane and thought to yourself, I hope the pilot is a transgender refugee? Have you ever gone to the emergency room and said, I hope my medical team is incredibly diverse? Have you ever moved to a new city and said, I hope the police department hit its equity goals for the year? If your answer to these questions was no, if you just wanted the most qualified candidates for the job, then you are normal. But we have a lot of very not normal people running America these days. Left-wing politicians believe skin color or gender identity should determine who gets the job. Democrats used to care about the middle class. Now they just care about your race and your gender. And as long as Democrats stay in power, it will just keep getting worse. Stop the bigotry. Stop the insanity. Paid for by Citizens for Sanity.
All right, Nick, these are ads that are running on national television in the United States. Now, there was another ad just as good that was a little more racially focused that ran right before the midterms last year. These are Republican PACs that are running these ads, and they're running nationwide. Could you have foreseen that a few years ago? I couldn't have.
Indeed, I couldn't. We've got nothing like that here in Britain, but or even for that matter, I don't think in Europe as a whole, but with us, it's from the grassroots rather than from partway up the political system. So, give you one example of great news from Europe to sort of to match that: that the farmers in Holland are the ones who are being used as guinea pigs by the European Union and, in the end, the World Economic Forum for the destruction of farming. They're being forced to be bought out and closed down. And this has last year created a wave of protests. And the farmers are back for more. The police have been brutal with them, literally shooting at tractors, farmers and tractors. And the Dutch farmers have now announced they're marching on The Hague. And they're talking about having 100,000, not just farmers on foot, but these men are coming with tractors and so on. And the police force just can't stand up against that if it kicks off. It's amazing to see this coming from the grassroots here over our side of the Atlantic. And it's great to hear of it coming from a bit higher up the chain over there. It's all going to coalesce and great things are going to happen.
And make no mistake, I mean, according to the polls, the reason why we're getting a little help from the middle tier here in the United States, certainly not the elites, but from the middle tier, is because the polls, when Republicans are polled, they are so far to the right now, they have radicalized in such a good way, and I use that word affectionately, not as a derogatory slur. They have radicalized to such an extent that it is forcing at least some Republicans, not the head table, not the Mitch McConnells and the Mitt Romneys and people like that, but it's forcing a lot of these conservative Republicans to move in our direction with regards to racial realities and the realities of multiculturalism, because that's where the votes are now, Keith.
Well, there was an article in Occidental Dissent, Hunter Wallace's website, about a near-miss airplane crash between a FedEx airplane and a Southwest airline, commuter airline going to Cancun or something, caused by a black air traffic controller. In fact, he made two big mistakes. And if the white pilots of the FedEx plane and of the Southwest plane had not had their eyes open and had just relied upon what they're being told, they would have had two opportunities to crash into one another. And see, this is getting reported now. That's the type of thing that would never have been reported before.
Did we lose Nick?
No, I'm here. No.
Oh, there he is. Okay, there he is. Okay.
I was just digesting that. Yeah, indeed. As you say, it wouldn't have been reported. But, and of course, it's happening more and more because we're reaching, it's been what now, probably 20 years that they stopped promoting people on merit for what they could do and started promoting people on the basis of what they are. And
how many boxes they checked on the diversity tab?
Yeah, absolutely so. And that is like playing a game of Jenga. You can pull so many sticks out and nothing happens, or blocks. But sooner or later, you pull out one more block and the Jenga tower falls over or the plane crashes.
Let me read one more thing to you, Nick, and I want to give you the remainder of the hour, an hour that has gone by far too quickly with you, my friend, as it always does. And I want to thank you, as I always do, for you staying up so late, well past midnight now, closing in on the 1 o'clock a.m. hour. in your location. I want to read something once again. I don't want to, you know, speak his name too often tonight, but former Congressman Steve King, who's been on the show now three times in as many months, retweeted a Joe Sobrin quote just this week from 1997. This is what the congressman tweeted out. "The concept of envy, the hatred of the superior, has dropped out of our moral vocabulary. The idea that white Christian civilization is hated more for its virtues than its sins doesn't occur to us because it's not a nice idea. Western man towers over the rest of the world in ways so large as to be almost inexpressible. It's Western exploration, science, and conquest that have revealed the world to itself. Other races feel like subjects of Western power long after colonialism, imperialism, and slavery have disappeared. The charge of racism puzzles whites who feel not hostility, but only a baffled goodwill because they don't grasp what it really means. Humiliation. The white man presents an image of superiority even when he isn't conscious of it. Superiority excites envy. Destroying white civilization is the inmost desire of the League of Designated Victims that we call minorities." That was tweeted out this week by a very recently former congressman, not long removed from the halls of Congress.
Something Joe Sobrin said in 1997.
Yeah, in 97. Of course, I agree with that. But it does just show, we've tried to stack a little bit of evidence here, both anecdotal and data-driven, that things are changing on different levels in ways that...
And the scales are falling from people's eyes.
Last word to you on that, Nick, and tell us what you're up to and how we can support you and whatever else you're working on these days.
Yep, well, it's great to hear. It's great to see, isn't it? It's such an exciting time. I do wish, although I suppose I'm in the position of being, you know, one of the grand old men of this, and having things like that. You know, there's so many young people in not just Britain, all over, who've heard that Kudinov-Kalergi speech of mine, and so on. It really is a classic, and it's influenced huge numbers of people. But I wish that I was 40 years younger and able actually to be leading this thing, because you haven't got the energy at the age of 64, 65. I think I have. But, you know, realistically, you haven't. We need younger men coming forward. And I'm sure we're going to get them because the times are calling for the men of our race. And whenever that happened in the past, those men have stepped forward. And it's for us older ones like thee and me, James, and Keith for that matter, that we're here to help and advise them. And with a combination of our experience and their youthful energy, we can have our saving revolution.
Right, Nick, you've got decades left in you, brother. You have a whole nother act in you that you haven't even fathomed yet. I tell you, your best days are still coming, I hope. And I hope that we'll get to see you in person sometime soon. I know it's hard for people like us to travel where we want to go. And
yeah, you never know whether you'll wind up in a jail somewhere.
Hey, James, you never James, know. It's harder for me. I'm banned from traveling outside of Britain. I literally cannot travel anywhere. So you'll have to come and see my friend. You'll have to come and see me. Until then, we'd love to come back on the show again, hopefully sooner than last time. There's various things. You asked the question about what's motivating the World Economic Forum and so on. I've got, I think, a great answer. We haven't got time tonight, so you'll have to have me back on for that. In the meantime, if your viewers want to think more of what I'm saying, join me on Telegram, please, at t.me/Nick Griffin, or follow me on Twitter. I'm still there. As Nick Griffin BU, that's Bravo uniform, but Nick Griffin BU. Or if people want to see what I'm writing, come along and look at KnightsTemplarOrder.com and look at the bookstore and the two Deus Vault books, Reconquista of the West and the Great Reset Resistance. I haven't written them all, but I wrote a lot of the chapters and I'm the editor. And well, I think, James, you reckon they're good books, and I think your judgment is very good. So that again is KnightsTemplarOrder.com. Have a look at the articles that I write a lot of and look at the bookstore.
Hey, and let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. So many of you already have done that. By the way, Nick's Twitter handle at the top of our the one for the program, the one for me, James Edwards TPC. We link over to Nick Griffin's Twitter handle there. It's at the top of my Twitter page promoting tonight's appearance. So link over to him there. And so many of you, we have actually used both of those books you just mentioned in fundraising incentives, and we couldn't get enough shipped from the UK. They had to keep shipping them. I think we did about three different orders for one, and at least a couple on the second. And so a lot of you listening out there tonight have already received these books, and even more, I know, have bought them. independent of getting them from us. So they are great books, and it's full of practical information that you will need to survive what's coming, to keep your family safe until order can be restored. We do believe that that day will come, but it doesn't mean it's going to be a very peaceful transition between now and then. So we want to do everything we can to act right and to be safe and to take precautions. These books let you know how to do that. Nick had a heavy hand in these books, as you just mentioned. Brother Jim over there as well, one of our good friends. And we'll talk to him and Nick again soon. Nick, thank you so much. Safe travels back home when you get there. And we'll talk to you again very soon. God bless you and Godspeed. Yes. Drew Fraser. Yes, indeed. God bless you. And I'll email you tomorrow and we'll get it all up and running. Drew Fraser in Australia is standing by. So from Great Britain, the United Kingdom, whichever you prefer, to Australia we go. And we're going there now. We're going there next. Stay tuned, everybody.